హరే కృష్ణ. శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు హ్యాస్ అరైవ్డ్ ఇన్ వ్రజభూమి, హ్యావింగ్ బేథ్డ్ ఎట్ విశ్రామ్ ఘాట్ అండ్ ట్రావెల్ టు ఆల్ ది అదర్ ఘాట్స్, 24 or 25 ఘాట్స్. He also visits the Keshav Dev Mandir, meets a Sanodiya Brahman, has prasadam at his place, following in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, and the Sanodiya Brahman then takes him to the various holy places in Braj, specifically the 12 main forests. Mahaprabhu's ecstasy knows no bounds. He remains constantly absorbed in transcendental separation from Krishna because he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Kaviraj Goswami describes that his absorption and his ecstatic feelings were 100,000 times more than they used to be in Jagannath Puri. As Mahaprabhu wandered through the forests of Raja, he was completely oblivious of his external surroundings, just aware that he was in Braj. And he used to roll on the ground, he would cry in ecstasy, sometimes swoon. And these ecstatic symptoms were unparalleled, unprecedented. And both the Sanodiya Brahman and Balabhadra Bhattacharya used to be struck with wonder every time Mahaprabhu would go into ecstatic trance. Then finally, wandering through the forests, Mahaprabhu came to Aritagram. Kaviraj Goswami describes that it is impossible to describe the different transcendental ecstatic symptoms that Mahaprabhu experienced and exhibited. And he says that he has mentioned only a few of the pastimes and experiences that Mahaprabhu had in Vraj. He only mentions the highlights of them. So Mahaprabhu now arrived at the village called Aritagram. It is a distortion from the term Arishtagram. There was an asura called Arishtasura. You've all read Krishna book, so you know of this demon. Krishna killed this demon. And this happened, and this incident is very connected closely to the origin of Radha Kund. We won't go into the story of the origin of Radha Kund, but suffice it to say that because Krishna killed Arishtasura and the gopis then accused him of killing a bull, that means being a cow killer, which is supposed to be one of the most heinous crimes and sins in Vedic culture, they asked him to perform some atonement. And then Krishna summoned all the holy rivers and seas to come, and they did. And Krishna formed the Sham Kunda. And then he said, well, you've sided with the demon, so you also have to perform some atonement. So you have to create your own lake. Krishna offered the waters from his Kunda, and Radharani haughtily refused. See, we can manage ourselves. We don't need you. So anyway, the rivers came and begged for an opportunity to serve Srimati Radharani. Being very compassionate, she agreed. So those holy rivers, who were already in Sham Kund, overflowed and entered into the ditch that had been dug by Radharani and the gopis, and that formed the Radha Kund. However, in the 4,500 years that elapsed since then, until the advent of Mahaprabhu, now the exact location of Radha Kund was forgotten. When Mahaprabhu came there to Arishtagram, now known as Arit, at that time known as Aritagram, he asked, where is Radha Kund and Sham Kund? Nobody knew. Even the Sanodiya Brahman, who was a local of Mathura, didn't know where Radha Kund and Sham Kund was. But of course, Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He is omniscient. So he understood that in Aritagram there was Radha Kund and Sham Kund. He went to two paddy fields, and in the midst of those paddy fields there was some water. Mahaprabhu immediately understood that this was Radha Kund and this was Sham Kund. And he proceeded to take a bath right there in the midst of the paddy fields. And the local Brajavasis there were astonished to see that. Why would anybody go into a paddy field and take bath? And here this was a sannyasi, he was effulgent like many suns. So then they understood that this must be some extraordinary place. Then Mahaprabhu, having taken his bath in Radha Kund, collected some mud from Radha Kund, applied tilak to his body, and also gathered some mud and gave it to Balabhadra Bhattacharya to carry back, because the mud of Radha Kund is very holy, and we use that to apply tilak as well. So Radha Kund, as we all know, is the holiest of the holy places for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami has pointed out how Radha Kund is a supreme holy place. Vaikuntha janito vara madhupuri. Mathura bhumi is superior to Vaikuntha because it is a place where Krishna appeared. Tatrapi rasotsavat vrindaranyam. Superior to Mathura is Vrindavan because that is where Sri Krishna performed his rasa leela. Udharapani ramanat. Tatrapi govardhanah. And even superior to Vrindavan is Govardhan, because it is here that Krishna performed many, many transcendental pastimes, and he lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. Radha Kundam ihapi Gokulapate Premamrita Plavanat. And even superior to Govardhan is Radha Kund, because it is here that the transcendental, nectarian, ambrosial love of Krishna, the Lord of Gokul, overflows. So Radha Kund is the place where Krishna Prem is, the place is over flooded with Krishna Prem. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath there, then he offered his obeisances to Radha Kund and began to chant prayers in glorification of Radha Kund. He said, just as Srimati Radharani is the best of all the gopis, amongst all the gopis, Radharani is most dear to Krishna. Similarly, this lake, the Radha Kund, is also very dear to Krishna because the lake is a favorite of Srimati Radharani. Just as Radharani is all attractive, this Kunda, Radha Kund, is also all attractive. Just as Srimati Radharani is completely and fully glorious, this Radha Kund is also equally glorious. Anyone who takes his bath even once in Radha Kund will be blessed with the same love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to glorify Radha Kund. And then he proceeded from Radha Kund, went ahead towards Sumanas Lake. Today it is known as Kusum Sarovar. Many of you who have visited Vrindavan have surely seen Kusum Sarovar. It's a large lake. And from there he went ahead to the Manasi Ganga, the Ganga which emanated from the mind of Krishna. Each place is, of course, full of wonderful pastimes, and we don't have the time to talk about the pastimes that took place in each of these places, and even to narrate the significance in depth of each of them. But anyway, Manasi Ganga is supposed to be a very important place because that is the place where many of Krishna's boating pastimes, Nauka Vihar, Jala Vihar, the water pastimes took place. And nearby is the Haridev Mandir. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Haridev Mandir and in great ecstasy chanted and danced. And the people around, when they heard about Mahaprabhu singing and dancing, they all rushed there and were struck with wonder to see his ecstatic symptoms. And they all began to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The priests of the Haridev Mandir also came forward and offered him the Mahaprasadam garlands and Prasadam of Haridev. Haridev, as we mentioned yesterday, is one of the four presiding deities of Vraja. There are four devas. Does anybody remember the four devas from yesterday? Haridev is one. The other three now. Govindadev in Vrindavan, Baladev in Baladev, Keshav Dev in Mathura. So Haridev is the presiding deity of Govardhan. And traditional folklore in Braj says that one time when the gopis and Srimati Radharani were feeling intense separation from Krishna, they started calling out, Haridev, Haridev, because Krishna is Hari. And then all of a sudden Krishna appeared in front of them as a seven-year-old holding aloft the Govardhan hill on his left hand. And then the gopis began to worship that deity of Haridev. This was one of the deities installed by Vajranab. The original deity, like most of the other original deities of Vraj, are not in Vraj now. The original deity of Haridev is in a place called Rajdhan near Kanpur, present-day Kanpur. It was built during the time of Maharaj Akbar by the father of one of his generals. It is said that one begins parikrama by coming and taking blessings of Lord Haridev. So Mahaprabhu also did that. And then actually he stayed the night over there. And then he took his bath in Manasi Ganga. And at the Manasi Ganga, there are many, many wonderful pastime places. And as Mahaprabhu was taking rest, he was thinking about the deity of Gopal, Gopal Rai, whom Madhavendra Puri had discovered in the bushes when Gopal appeared to him in a dream. And then Madhavendra Puri had installed Gopal on the top of Govardhan, and a big festival had taken place. Now Mahaprabhu was very, very keen to take darshan of Gopal Rai. Rai means king. But how could he do that? The deity was on top of Govardhan Hill. And Mahaprabhu would never climb Govardhan Hill because he knew this was Govardhan Hill was non-different from Krishna. He wouldn't touch with his foot the Govardhan Hill. So in his mind he was contemplating, oh, I will not be able to take darshan of Gopal Rai. So the deity of Gopal Rai understood the mind of Mahaprabhu and decided to play a trick. And the trick was that in the village of Annakoot, presently called Aniyor, where Gopal resided, somebody came along and spread a rumor. And that kind of news was common in those days. Oh, the Muslim soldiers are coming, the Muslim soldiers are coming. Because there was a Muslim emperor. And he was quite a tyrant in those days, king called Aurangzeb. And there were others also, some of them. There were kings like Akbar who were more tolerant and sometimes supportive. But kings like Aurangzeb were despots and tyrants. So they would often send soldiers to Braj, and that's why many of the original deities of Braj were moved out. Most of them went to the province of Rajasthan, where there were many Rajput, Kshatriya, Vaishnava kings who protected the deities and also worshipped them with great devotion. So one person came there and started spreading rumors, the Turkish soldiers are coming. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So all of you, every one of you should leave the village and go away and take away Gopal Rai to some safe place. Not a single one of you should remain here. So naturally there was a great tumult in the village. By the way, the Aniyur village is so called because that was the place where the actual pastime of Krishna and the Brajabasis offering vast quantities of bhoga to Govardhan happened. And then Govardhan assumed a huge form to accept those offerings, and he wanted more and more. And he said, Aniyur, which means I want more. And therefore the village was called Aniyur. Till today, that's the name of the village. So then the villagers, they fled. They left their homes and everything, and they carried Gopal Rai with them. And they went to a village called Gatuli. After Gatuli, they took him to some other village, and village after village, sometimes in the bushes, sometimes in the forest, sometimes in a village in somebody's home. So the villagers were very keen to protect Gopal Rai. But anyway, when Mahaprabhu came, as he walked around, he saw Govardhan, offered his prostrated obeisances, and then he came to Gatuli Gram. The village is called Gatuli because of the word Gat. Gat means a knot. The pastime that happened there is that one time Srimati Radharani and Krishna, they were there, and the gopis quietly tied their two cloths in a knot. That happens only at the marriage yajna. When bride and bridegroom come and they circumambulate the fire, that's when their clothes are tied in a knot. So the gopis then tied Krishna's and Radharani's clothes in a knot. So it became known as Gatuli. So today also the village is known as Gatuli. So when Mahaprabhu came there, he heard the rumor that the Muslims were coming. So the deity was moved, and he heard from confidential sources that presently he's in Gatuli. So he went to Gatuli. He went to the house of the Brahmana where the deity was. And he had darshan for 3 complete days. To his heart's content, he had darshan of Gopal. Of course, later it emerged that it was a rumor, that there were no soldiers coming. And then the deity was taken back to his original home on top of Govardhan Hill. But Mahaprabhu's desire was fulfilled. He had the darshan of Gopal Rai. When Mahaprabhu came here, he saw the Govardhan Shilas. He fell to the ground and he embraced the Govardhan Shilas to his chest and went into ecstatic trance. He began to chant various verses. Especially he chanted this one verse, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that, which is a famous verse from the Venu Geet, the 21st chapter of the 10th canto. Hantaya madrirabala haridasa varyo yad rama krishna charana sparasha pramodah manam tanoti sahakau ganayostayuryat pani suryavasakandara kandamulaihi. The gopis are glorifying Govardhan Hill as being the greatest servant of Krishna, haridasa varya. And they are saying, just see how fortunate Govardhan is. He is able to serve Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends and the cows in such a wonderful way. He has offered them caves to rest. There are waterfalls which give cool water to quench their thirst. There is soft succulent grass there to feed the cows. There are many, many roots and berries and fruits available there to satisfy Ram and Krishna and all their cowherd boyfriends when they are hungry. And just see how Govardhan has become jubilant by the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. In this way the gopis were glorifying Govardhan. Mahaprabhu remembered this verse and was chanting that in glorification of Govardhan. Of course, he didn't climb Govardhan Hill. And at this point, I have a question for you. Madhavendra Puri climbed on top of Govardhan Hill and installed the Gopal deity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was his grand disciple. Even though Madhavendra Puri went to the top of Govardhan Hill, he placed his feet on Govardhan Hill, otherwise how could he climb to the top? But Mahaprabhu strictly forbade his followers from doing it, from going on top of Govardhan Hill, and neither did he himself do it. Why? Sorry? He went to serve Gopal. Okay, so can't the devotees go on top of Govardhan Hill to serve Gopal? What's the reason? Yes. No, he didn't. He didn't actually do that. He was just thinking like that, but he didn't actually do it. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't actually go. He was just thinking, yes. Well, that's fine. For Gopalji, it's okay because he's Krishna. But why did Madhavendra Puri go? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict. You shouldn't place your feet on Govardhan. But Madhavendra Puri, his grand spiritual master, went. The answer is very simple, because Krishna asked him to do it. Gopal appeared to him in a dream, and he said, for a long time I've been in the bushes here, and I've been enduring the heat and the cold and the rain and so on, and the thorns have been scratching my body. So I'm at such and such place behind this bush. So please take me out from here and install me on top of Govardhan. So therefore, Madhavendra Puri was personally directed, instructed in the dream by Gopal personally to go on top of Govardhan Hill and place him there. Therefore Madhavendra Puri did it. For Gopal Rai, of course, he is Krishna, so there was no problem. So he went on top of Govardhan. So that's the answer to the first question. And I have a second question. But Mahaprabhu is Krishna. So if Gopal Rai could go on top of Govardhan, why did Mahaprabhu not go on top of Govardhan? Yes.
Mahaprabhu wanted to instruct everybody not to follow that.
Well, he could have gone and told everybody else not to go, because he is Krishna.
He came as a devotee.
That's right, because he came as a devotee. Because Mahaprabhu's function, his whole mission is not to play Krishna, not to play God. His whole mission is to play the role of a devotee. So he had to set the standard or an example of a perfect devotee. So therefore he didn't go on top of Govardhan Hill. So as he came to Ganthuli Gram, he had darshan there of Gopalji. And at that time, he chanted this one verse that's up on the board. One of my favorite verses, very beautiful verse, where he glorifies Giridhari, the holder of the Govardhan Hill. So we'll chant this verse now. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "May the left arm of Sri Krishna, whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower, always protect you. With his left arm he raised Govardhan Hill as if it were a toy." So Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, and when the deity moved back to Govardhan from Gathuli, then he chanted and danced along with the local Brajabasi devotees in great ecstasy. In this way, Mahaprabhu was fully satisfied taking darshan of Gopal Rai at Govardhan. He performed the whole parikrama, of course. So Krishna started the tradition by doing the parikrama himself first, along with the Brajabasis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did it. Before him, Madhavendrapuri did it. And therefore it is a practice that devotees, when they go to Braj, they do the Govardhan parikrama. So it's a nice thing to do. Anytime you go to Vraja, please remember to do at least one Govardhan parikrama. So then from there on, Mahaprabhu took bath in Govind Kund. Govind Kund, as you know, is the place where Indra came along with Mother Surabhi to beg forgiveness from Krishna for his offense. And he coronated Krishna as the king. And he performed an abhishek of Krishna, a bathing ceremony of Krishna, with the water from the heavenly Ganga, transported by his elephant, the Airavata. And thus the Govinda Kund was formed. And then he moved on, completed the parikrama. He went onwards to Kamyavan. There are many forests. He went to each of them. And then from Kamyavan he came to Nandishwar, Nandagram. Brahma and Shiva also wanted to participate in the pastimes of Braj. So Brahma came to Srimati Radharani and requested, please let me serve you in some way. So he became four hills in Barsana. And Radharani's temple, the Lardli Lal, the famous Lardli Lal temple, is on top of one of those hills. So Brahma is serving the divine couple in Barsana, and Lord Shiva is serving their lordship, their lordships in Nandagram by becoming the hill there, Nandishwar Hill. And on top of that, there is a temple today. There are, of course, many, many pastimes that happened in Nandagram and Nandishwar. So he took bath in the all the lakes that were around. Apparently at that time there were many, many kunds. Even today there are several, but there were many more in those days. Some have dried up. So Pavan Sarovar, for example, the place where Srimati Radharani would come every day to cook for Krishna. And Sanatan Goswami's bhajan kutir is there. He would perform his bhajan over there. So after having taken his bath in Pavan Sarovar, he also wanted to go to the top. He asked the local people, are there any deities on top of the hill? So the local people replied, yeah, there are two deities of two very stout people there. And along with them, there is a child who is bent in three places. So Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear that. And he went on top of Nandishwar Hill. And in a cave, indeed, there were deities. There were Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna with them. So Mahaprabhu was very, very happy to have darshan of those deities. He chanted and danced in great ecstasy in Nandishwar. And then he moved on from there. He went to Khadirvan, Sheshashayi also, the place of Lakshmi Devi. He recited many verses there. For shortage of time, I'm going through briefly. It's a place of Lakshmi Devi, so the gopis, of course, are all Lakshmis, so he recited verses that were chanted by the gopis. Then he went to Khelatirtha, where Krishna would play with the cowherd boys. Braja is full of such pastime places. Every little part of Braj is saturated with that nectarian prema of these pastimes. Then he went to Bhandiravan, the place where Krishna and Radharani were married by Brahma. He went to the Yamuna. From Yamuna he came to Bhadravan. From Bhadravan he went to Bilvavan. From Bilvavan to Lohavan, where Krishna used to graze the cows. From there to Mahavan, Gokul, where Krishna's appearance pastime took place. From Mathura, as you know, Krishna was transferred to Gokul Mahavan. He saw the palaces where Nanda Maharaj used to live, where Krishna's baby childhood pastimes were performed. He also went to the place called Ukhala Bandhan, where the Damodar Leela took place. In this way, Mahaprabhu spent many, many happy hours and perhaps some days in these places in ecstatic trance, always chanting and dancing. And everywhere he went, the local people would be just simply astonished to see his ecstatic love. Then from Mahavan Gokul, he came to Mathura and stayed at the house of the Sanodiya Brahmin. But at Mathura, at this Brahmin's house, when the word spread that Mahaprabhu had come there, people would come there in droves, in thousands. And this disturbed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He couldn't chant anymore because all the time people would come for darshan and ask for blessings and so on. So then he decided to go away from Mathura and he went to the place called Akrur Tirtha or Akrur Ghat. Now this is a very important place for all of us. And Mahaprabhu actually stayed there for some time. As he stayed there, he would relish the solitude of Akrur Tirtha. But even there, people started coming because the word spread that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had shifted to Akrur Tirtha. So then what he would do was, in the morning, he would go to Vrindavan. So in the first morning that he was there in Akrur Tirtha, he went to Kaliya Hrada, the lake of Kaliya. He took bath there, then Praskandana, then he went to Dwadish Aditya Tila, the hill, on top of which Madan Mohan Temple, the old temple, is located today, for those of you who are familiar with Vrindavan. It's also the place where Krishna, after subduing Kaliya, came here to dry himself up because he was a little cold. He had been in the water for quite a while and when he came out he was shivering with cold. So then he came on top of this hill and the 12 Adityas, the 12 suns came and with their blazing sun heat they dried Krishna and gave him warmth. So Mahaprabhu went there and then he went to Keshi Ghat. Then he went to Vanshivata for where Krishna would call the gopis. He went to the place where Krishna performed the Rasa Leela. So all through he was completely oblivious of his own condition and situation. He was just completely absorbed in transcendental love. And it was evening by the time he realized, oh, I haven't taken my prasadam. So then he went back to how we wish this thing would happen with us, yes? In the midst of our devotional service, the pangs of hunger and sleep, they pull us very strongly. But Mahaprabhu was completely oblivious to all these things. So by the evening he went back to Akrur Tirtha, had prasadam, and then he met the devotees who would come to see him, and he instructed them about the chanting of the holy name. He preached to them. The next morning, again he went to Vrindavan, and this time having taken bath in the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, he came to the place known as Imli Tala. Imli is tamarind. So there is a famous tamarind tree there and Tala means below. So then he went and sat beneath that Imli Tala. This is a famous pastime place in Vrindavan. It is said that one time when Srimati Radharani left the site of the Rasa Leela, Krishna was greatly aggrieved. And as you know, without Srimati Radharani, Krishna finds no happiness in anything. So he went searching everywhere for Srimati Radharani and could not find her. So he came to this tamarind tree and sat beneath it and began to lament. And as he lamented in separation from Srimati Radharani, his body automatically assumed the complexion of Srimati Radharani. He became golden colored. And then Srimati Radharani came there, and upon seeing Radharani, he once again assumed his original blackish complexion. And of course, he confidentially told Srimati Radharani that, you see, after some years, after 4,500 years, I will come here with your complexion. So the same pastime will be repeated. So as Mahaprabhu, he came there and he would sit in Imlitala and chant his japa. Because in Akru Tirtha, there was no peaceful situation there. So at Imlitala, he would chant his rounds and then he would go back in the afternoon and take his prasadam in Akru Tirtha. And the next day again he came to Imlitala. And this time there was a person called Krishnadas, who was from the Rajput community. The Rajputs are Kshatriyas. They are also Vaishnavas. And he lived across the Yamuna. So he came to Imlitala and he had one look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understood this is a very exalted personality. So he came and immediately offered his prostrated obeisances to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu asked him, "Who are you? And where have you come from?" He said, "My name is Krishnadas. I am just a fallen Rajput. But I had a dream in which I was told that a very exalted Vaishnava has come here. So I have come here to take shelter of your lotus feet and to serve you. So Mahaprabhu was very pleased and he embraced Krishnadas. And then Krishnadas wanted to serve him, so he went back to Akrur Ghat along with him. And as he went back, then there were many people waiting. There was a tumult going on there. So Mahaprabhu had been hearing these rumors going on. And the people who were coming to see him in the evenings, they would say, "You know, Krishna has appeared in Vrindavan." And Mahaprabhu would ask for elaboration, and they would say, "Yes, actually everybody is going to Vrindavan to see Krishna. He has come in the Kaliya lake, and he is on top of the hoods of Kaliya, and everybody is able to even see the blazing diamonds on Kaliya's hoods." And Mahaprabhu would smile within himself, and externally he would say, that is correct. Of course, that wasn't true. But Mahaprabhu was waiting for the truth to reveal itself. So people would come, and they would come to Mahaprabhu when he was in Akrur Ghat, and they would say, "Krishna has appeared, and we have seen Krishna." So Kaviraj Goswami explains the irony of the whole situation. He says they were looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and saying, "We have seen Krishna today." But the reason for them saying that was wrong. They imagined that they had seen Krishna in the Kaliya lake. But that was not where Krishna actually appeared, as would be revealed the next day. But when they were seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time they were actually seeing Krishna. So what they were saying was right, but the reason was wrong. So Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. And then after a while, his servant, Mahaprabhu's servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, came. And he said, "My Lord, I have a request, a prayer. Please grant me this prayer." So Mahaprabhu said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to go and see Krishna in Vrindavan." So Mahaprabhu is very merciful, as you know. So he favored Balabhadra Bhattacharya with a good tight slap. So he said, "You are a learned scholar, but you have become a fool in the company of these fools. Why will Krishna appear now in Kali Yuga like this? Just sit down here quietly and be patient, and you will see Krishna tomorrow." So Balabhadra Bhattacharya became very ashamed. So he sat down quietly, as Mahaprabhu instructed him to. And then that evening some respectable people came from the local area. And then Mahaprabhu asked them, "So then have you seen Krishna?" So they said, "Oh no, this was just a whole mistake. It was a big mistake. You see, there was a fisherman who would every night go out with a boat, and he carried a lantern, and he would fish in the Yamuna. So the people assumed that the boat was Kaliya and the fisherman was Krishna and the lantern was the blazing diamonds on Krishna's hoods. So they mistakenly understood this to be Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. But today the truth was revealed. So this was the whole incident that happened there and how people were misled into believing that Krishna had appeared. But those respectable people said that, but actually now we are seeing Krishna. So Mahaprabhu said, how is that? He said, because we are seeing you. Because you are a sannyasi, and a sannyasi is Krishna. Now again, they were right, but for the wrong reason. And Mahaprabhu was aghast. You see, the Mayavadis, that is their philosophy. Elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the pastime of Mahaprabhu delivering the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi, Kaviraj Goswami explains their philosophy. Dandagrahana matrena naranarayano bhavet. Their philosophy is dandagrahana. Danda means the sannyas staff, the danda. Grahana means to accept. Matrena means only by. Simply by accepting the staff of sannyas. That means by accepting the sannyas order of life. Nara, human being, narayana bhavet, becomes narayana. So by becoming narayana, about becoming a sannyasi, you become Narayana. That is their idea. So therefore they greet each other as Om Namo Narayanaya. So they greet each other as Narayana. I remember when I took sannyas, Prahladananda Maharaj, the sannyas minister, came and said, Om Namo Narayana. So naturally this was not something that Mahaprabhu liked to hear. So he shut his ears with his hands and he said, Vishnu, Vishnu, don't call, it's a great offense to call a jiva as Vishnu. And then Mahaprabhu preached to them about the difference between the jiva and Krishna and how offensive it was to consider a jiva to be God. And then as he preached to them, several verses, Kaviraj Goswami explains that in detail. I'm not saying that due to paucity of time. Then finally, the respectable personalities who had come there, they said, but actually, not even that. We can understand from your symptoms that you are directly Krishna. Because these kinds of symptoms, ecstatic symptoms, cannot be demonstrated or exhibited by anybody but Krishna himself. You are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as much as the aroma of musk cannot be hidden when it is covered in a cloth because the fragrance will still emanate strongly, similarly, even though you are trying to cover your Godhood, it cannot be hidden for long. And we can understand that you are directly Krishna. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after that didn't say anything. And then many, many people were coming and the Lord was preaching to them. In the meanwhile, at Akrur Ghat, Mahaprabhu was very aware of the significance of that place. And he began to remember the pastimes that had taken place here 4,500 years previous to his coming there. He remembered that this was the place where Akrura had come along with Krishna and Balaram. I'll narrate it in very brief. You know that Kamsa sent Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura. Kamsa had his own evil plans. And Krishna had his own purpose to fulfill. Because the time had come for him to complete his Vrindavan pastimes and move on to Mathura and thereafter to Dwarka. So Akrura, their uncle, was chosen as the person to do this. So he came and took Krishna and Balaram away and they halted at this place where the Yamuna was flowing. And Akrura got down, Krishna Balaram got down. They took their bath and came back. Meanwhile, Akrura went to take bath after Krishna Balaram had been seated on the chariot. And he went there and saw Krishna Balaram bathing there. And now they had assumed forms of Vishnu and Anantashesha. He was perplexed, thinking that Krishna Balaram were in the chariot. I saw them there. How come they are here? So he went back to the chariot and saw that Krishna Balaram were there on the chariot. He came back to the river and saw that Krishna Balaram were here again. So he was really bewildered. And then he took his bath and quietly came back to the chariot where Krishna and Balaram were sitting, smiling away, looking at the bewilderment of Akrura. Akrura didn't say a word. What was the point? And then Krishna mischievously asked him, "So, Akrura, it seems you have seen something very amazing." And then Akrura replied, "My dear Lord, for one who has seen you face to face, what amazing thing is left to see in the sky, in the water, in the ground, or anywhere else?" So this pastime happened here. And Mahaprabhu was remembering this pastime and with great ecstasy. And when Akrura was in the Yamuna, up to his waist, he saw not just Krishna Balaram manifesting as Vishnu as Anantashesh, but he saw the entire Vaikuntha Loka manifested before him. So Mahaprabhu remembered that as well. This was the first incident that happened here. The second incident that happened was that when Nanda Maharaj, one day, when he was going to break the Ekadashi fast, he was taking a bath, but he was too early. It was dark, it was night. And therefore he was arrested by the servants of Varuna. And he was taken to Varuna Loka. And when it was discovered that Nanda Maharaj was missing, then the Brajabasis were distraught with grief and they came to Krishna. Then Krishna understood. He dived into the Yamuna and through the waterways he went to Varuna Loka. Varuna was besides himself with joy to see that the Supreme Lord had come. He welcomed him. And when Nanda Maharaj saw his child being glorified in this way, he was struck with wonder. He said, "My son, what's going on here?" And then they were escorted back in grand style back to Brajabhumi. And then Nanda Maharaj narrated in great wonder what he had seen there. You know what they did to our Lala, the Varuna, the big Varuna was doing this. He was worshipping him. And all the Brajabasis saying, "Really? Lala was being worshipped like that." And then when Nanda Maharaj described the opulence of Varuna Loka, the Brajabasi started thinking, "Oh, so he's God. Maybe he can also show us his kingdom." So then Krishna was thinking, "That's not good, because they are trying to compare the opulence of my kingdom with Varuna's kingdom. What is Varuna's opulence with my opulence? And furthermore, these people, my poor devotees, innocent devotees, they don't realize that the Vrindavan they are staying in here is exactly the same as the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. They don't realize their good fortune." So then he took them to the Akrur Ghat, what later became known as Akrur Ghat. So this pastime, of course, preceded Akrura's pastime. So he took them there and, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he showed them not only Vaikuntha Loka, but he showed them the Goloka Vrindavan planet. And on that planet they could see Krishna, Balaram, they could see themselves, and they could see the whole Bhauma Vrindavan also. And they could understand that the Paravyoma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan in the spiritual world, was non-different from the Vrindavan that had manifested on earth. They became completely satisfied. And they went back. So this was Krishna's mercy upon his dear devotees. He wanted to demonstrate to them that Bhauma Vrindavan, Vrindavan that manifests on Bhumi, on earth, is identical with the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So these were the two important pastimes that Mahaprabhu was remembering. And actually this place has a very deep esoteric significance. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that there is a transcendental invisible boundary between Vrindavan and Mathura. It is said, "Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam na gacchati." that Sri Krishna never takes a step outside Vrindavan. So then who went to Mathura? Yes, it is Krishna, of course, but in his expansion as Vasudev. The original Krishna, Shyam Sundar or Govinda remains behind in his unmanifest or aprakat form in Vrindavan. Similarly, Balaram also remains behind in his unmanifest form. And he and Krishna manifest their Mathura features. So as Sankarshan and as Vasudev. So when Akrura saw the transformation of Krishna Balaram into Vishnu and Anantashesh, that was precisely the point at which now in Akrura's chariot he would have Vasudeva and Sankarshan with him, the Mathura forms of Krishna, whereas the original Krishna and Balaram remained behind in their unmanifest forms. So this is the deep significance of the place of Akrura Ghat at the Yamuna. So Mahaprabhu, after remembering all these things, was besides himself in ecstasy. He lost control of himself and jumped into the Yamuna. In those days, the Yamuna was flowing right next to Akrura Ghat. But the river in these 500 years has meandered away, and it's almost a kilometer or a half away from there. But still, there's a beautiful temple there. Anyway, so Mahaprabhu this time, he didn't come out of the water, he was underwater. And Krishnadas, the Rajput devotee, he panicked. And he started screaming and yelling for the Sanodiya Brahman to come, Balabhadra Bhattacharya to come. Mahaprabhu is in the water, he's not rising. Then Balabhadra Bhattacharya dove into the water and then brought Mahaprabhu out. Mahaprabhu had no awareness of what he was doing, where he was. And then afterwards, Balabhadra Bhattacharya took the Sanodiya Brahman to a solitary place. Of course, he didn't speak English, but had he spoken English, modern day English, I'm sure he would have said, phew. He told the Sanodiya Brahman, I cannot take it anymore. Had I not been around, you know, what would have happened to Mahaprabhu? Every day he goes to Vrindavan and bathes in Yamuna. What if this had happened in the Yamuna? Fortunately, I was here, so I could pick him out of the water. No, this is too much. I cannot take it anymore. The anxiety is too much now. So what should we do? And anyway, there are hundreds of these brahmanas who are coming here and taxing my brain because they want to invite Mahaprabhu for prasadam. How can I deal with all of them? And they are all so persistent. There's too much tension. I cannot take this pressure. So then Sanodiya Brahman and they discussed confidentially for some time. Then the Sanodiya Brahman said, I think the best thing to do is, yes, let's take him to Prayag. Balabhadra Bhattacharya had come to that conclusion. Let's take him out of Vrindavan. And Sanodiya Brahman said, all right, it's just about time. If we leave now, then we will be able to walk and reach Prayag by Makar Sankranti, which is the right time in the month of Magh to have the holy dip in the confluence of the Ganga, Saraswati and Yamuna. So you go and tell Mahaprabhu of the difficulties you are facing here. So the Sanodiya Brahman, with great trepidation, he went up to Mahaprabhu that morning and said, my dear Lord, I have a prayer that so many people are coming here and troubling me with invitations for prasadam. They tax my brain so much. I just cannot take it anymore. Please let us go from here to Prayag. And we'll go along the path that's touching the Ganga. You'll see the beauty of the Ganga. He was trying to tempt him. You'll see the beauty of the Ganga. And then we'll be able to take bath in the holy confluence of the rivers there. Mahaprabhu, of course, understood. And he said, all right, I'm dependent on you, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. You have brought me here, so I'm so grateful to you. So therefore now you want to take me away? Well, I'm your servant, you can take me away. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya and Sanodiya Brahman and the Krishnadasa Rajput came along for a while too. And then they left Vrindavan, they left Brajabhumi, and then they moved towards Prayag, and many other pastimes happened thereafter, and finally Mahaprabhu, at least on the physical platform, he left Brajabhumi. But in his consciousness, he was 24 hours absorbed in the mood of Vrindavan. And here we will end our discussion. I tried to summarize the whole thing, but still, there's many wonderful pastimes. It's in chapter 17 and 18 of the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I would invite all of you to please read this, and you will also experience great happiness in doing that. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I think we don't have any time left for questions. It's 9 o'clock already. So thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari.